This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. We learned yesterday that Americans bought 15.5 million new vehicles last year. That's a 12% increase from 2022. Also increasing, the size of a lot of what's on the roads. The 2023 model of the galactically popular Ford F-150 weighs about 800 pounds more than its 1991 version did. The phenomenon of cars and trucks becoming more and more ginormous is known as car bloat, and the costs that come with that bloat, financial and otherwise, are in fact pretty steep. David Zipper is a senior fellow at the MIT Mobility Initiative, and he wrote about that in Slate recently. David, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Is there a moment you can point to in the long history of the American automobile industry where we turned the corner and car bloat sort of started happening?
Yeah, I would say that it's probably in the late 1970s when a sort of now forgotten company called AMC repositioned the Jeep, the old military vehicle, mm-hmm. to be a modern SUV for suburban and urban shoppers for cars. And, you know, fast forward and SUVs are the most popular vehicle type today.
And there's a classification thing, too, right? Because the government says, well, yeah, you know, they're kind of like driving passengers around, but we're going to classify them differently.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The federal government, at the prompting of companies like AMC that were looking to sell SUVs, decided to classify SUVs as light trucks, which would have more relaxed fuel economy standards than passenger vehicles like sedans and station wagons. And it paved the way to really where we are now, where, you know, 80% plus of the new car market today is comprised of SUVs and pickups.
So let's get down then to the brass tacks and why we wanted to talk to you. And that is the ramification, the real world impact of car bloat. And you tick through a couple of them in the piece. The first one that I want to touch on is safety. These cars are bigger and heavier. And if you get in an accident and you're on the other end of it, it is not going to end well.
That's exactly right. A car that is taller, a car that is heavier is going to exert more force in a crash. That is bad news for someone who's in a smaller car on the other side of that incident. And lo and behold, by the way, we are now at a 40-year high in the U.S. in pedestrian mm-hmm. and cyclist deaths.
Another one of the invisible costs that you tick through, it's a couple, I'm going to lump them together. But basically, there is the environmental aspect of these things. They spew out, the gasoline-powered ones spew out more pollution because they're pushing heavier cars. Also, they are rougher on our highways.
That's exactly right. Cars that are big and cars that are heavy are going to require a lot of power to move. So that means a lot more power consumption, a lot more pollution, and a lot more force exerted on the tires, which will erode faster, all else being equal. And we're only now starting to realize how much of a problem that is. Yeah. with tire pollution leading to die-offs for fish and potentially harming other wildlife as well.
All right. So here comes a potentially touchy question, and you can dodge it if you want. But if you look at car ads, and this has been true for many years, it's not new. It's all about the freedom of the American road and the freedom to drive as big a car as we want to drive. And I'm an American and I want to drive a big SUV or a truck, by golly. This is an American phenomenon for a whole lot of reasons.
That's right. But in America, we also believe in markets, and we believe that people should be able to buy what they want at the appropriate price. And the problem in this country is that for decades, people who buy enormous, very heavy cars have been creating societal costs that they aren't paying for. That's what's called a market failure. So if we want the market for automobiles to succeed, we need to make sure that when people are shopping for their next car, they are considering the societal costs of their purchase, which is going to be a lot greater if they're going to be buying a very large model.
It's not a free market in this country, right? There are government regulations, and you do point out in the piece, and I think Washington, D.C. is an area where, like, if you drive a heavier car or an EV, you have to pay a heavier registration fee, right, because those cars are heavier. And so there is some government influence happening here.
There's starting to be.
Yeah.
One example that I cited in the Slate article, which I think is quite smart, is in the District of Columbia, where the most heavy SUVs and trucks will now require vehicle registration fees that are seven times higher than those same fees for people who are registering a very small sedan. So, you know, with policies like that, there is a recognition that if you're going to buy a vehicle model that's more dangerous and destructive, you're going to have to pay more. I think that's entirely appropriate.
David Zipper, he's a senior fellow at the MIT Mobility Initiative, wrote a piece in Slate once this interview came. David, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time and your expertise.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.